Before I start the case, tonight's case, I just want to review the last few shiurim, which are going to be nogeya, this case. So first we spoke about what we're talking about is when the worker messes up the job. Right, that's the side of shava here. We're talking about a bad job. The first case we spoke about was where the worker destroyed the thing that he was supposed to be fixing. He shechted wrong. He broke the washing machine that he was trying to fix. Right, he destroyed the thing that he was trying to do. The other case we saw that a bookbinder who misbinds the pages that he got, ruins those pages. So in all those cases, we said that the worker is always liable, except for the one case where he's an expert and he's doing the job for free. Right? In any other case, if a worker ruins the object that he's working on, in all cases, if the worker ruins the thing that he's working on, he's going to be chayiv unless he was working for free and unless he is an uman, unless he's a craftsman. Okay, so that was an easy share. If he's not an expert, even if he's working for free, he has to pay. That was the case we spoke about, the guy next door coming to fix your washing machine and he broke it, he'd be chayiv to pay. If he is working for money, even if he's an expert, he's chayiv. He's only putter if he is an expert working for free. Right, that was a few times ago. Then we spoke about someone who did a job. He didn't break the thing he was working on, but he didn't make it according to the specifications he wanted. We based that on the Gemara that says if the person had raw wool that he wanted dyed red, and the worker went and dyed it black. He wanted wood made into a chair, and he made it into a bench. He wanted a good chair, he made it a bad chair. He wanted a good quality dye, and he made bad quality dye. We spoke about all those cases, and we ended up with, I think it was 7 rules, and we discussed a case where you wanted to have a special bris challah baked. So the first thing we said, if you're ordering it from the bakery, and the bakery's baking it for you, that's not a case of employment, that's a case of a sale. Right? Sometimes we get confused and we think that it's a case of employment. I'm hiring you to do something for me, but if it's your materials and it's your work, so then it's a sale. And if it's not the way I wanted it, so we brought from Shulchan Aruch that Siman Reish Lamed Beis, that if it's a normal thing that could be returned, in other words, there was a bad enough mistake that you could say I refuse it, you can refuse it. That's not an issue of employment. So we're talking about where you gave the flour. We said a case you wanted it to be yashan, you wanted your special type of flour. You gave it to the baker to bake the special bris challah. So if he ruined it, he burnt it, then the challah came. So that's the case, like the first case that we talked about. He ruined the material that was given to him. So he'll be chayiv unless he was a craftsman or a professional baker working for free. Right. So that was the second case. The third case was chiddush that the Nesiva Sacher said. He said, since the Gemara doesn't talk about that you gave him wood to make a chair and he made a wagon, it says a chair to a bench, it says a red wool to black wool. So you see that if you completely do something completely different, you gave him this flour to make a bris challah and he made donuts, so then also you can refuse it. You say, give me back the value of the flour and I'll buy new flour and go somewhere else instead. And we said if it's a loss that you needed by then and he messed you up, so then he could be chayiv to pay you. Okay, so that was the third case. If it's something completely different from what you asked for, so you could also refuse it. We then said from another sefer, if it has no value at all, he painted the wrong house. So then of course you don't have to pay him. He didn't do anything for you. He painted the wrong house. And then we said if he did something, the case of the baker, he made the bris challah. You wanted it, with these types of humps, and he made it a little bit different, not as many braids, a little bit different, but it's still the same value. So then he gets the full pay, unless you said the favorish. It has to be like this, and if not, it's not going to be any good. But if it's just a little bit different, you said you want a bris challah like Yankel's bris, and it was a little bit different, and you had in mind that it should be exactly that way, and he didn't think of that. So then he gets the full pay. We brought a case, which was a strange case a little bit, that when you borrowed a sefer, Right? Remember we said if you borrowed someone's sefer and you decided it was too heavy and you took it to a binder and he split it in two and bound it into two volumes, there was a sefer that's, the posek said that that's okay, you could just return it because you didn't change the value. And he can't say, look, I'd like it all in one volume. And the same thing is if you gave the bookbinder your sefer to bind and he put it into two chalakim instead of one, you'd have to pay in full value. And that was epsah. The case that was really nogeya was he did the job, he baked the gris challah like he wanted, but he used poor quality oil. It wasn't worth as much as it should have been worth. So that's like the Gemara's case, where you wanted a good quality chair and he made it a bad chair, you wanted it dyed well, and he used the sediments of the dye, it didn't come out so well. So there the Gemara says, he did improve your raw wool. It's like a din of a yored, shalo bershus, the mokum shalo aso yilita. He's a yored where you did not want this job done, but he did make some improvement, so then you make a calculation. Is the improvement worth more than the expenses? Are the expenses worth more than the improvement? We said the expenses include his minimum income wages, not the income, the wages that you promised him, but what would be the lowest level of wages. And what the improvement is, we said a machlokas there, was machlokas Shulchan Aruch and Ramah. Went to the Siman Nesivas, there was a machlokas whether you count the improvement from the base value of raw wool, or the base value of raw wool plus what the improvement could have been. Right, that was the machlokas we had. So that was the second shear. The third shear we had last week was, he did the job okay. He finished the job, but by the time he could deliver it, the thing got destroyed. Right, we said, okay, so he fixed the car in the garage, but before you picked up the car, the garage burned down along with the car. So then we said, according to many poskim, you'd have to pay him for the work. He's pater for paying the damages because he's only a shomer sachar, and this was an onus. Right, the laundromat laundered your suit and then burned down, so it can't return it, so he's pater from paying you for the suit, and you have to pay the laundromat for doing the job because the guy did the job. The laundromat did the job, so you have to pay. That was last week's year. Now, this week, I want to talk about a case, and I think this is going to be the last of these bad job cases. And here's a case where he didn't ruin the job. The worker didn't ruin the job, and it was a little bit not so good, and it's something that could be fixed. And the case is like this. It's a case that happened 800 years ago. The Rashba brings the case. It's in Chelek Aleph, Tshuva Elef Nun Vav. Sometimes you quote, you think it's Chelek Aleph, Simen Nun Vav, because what Tshuva Sefer goes up to 1056. Right? But the Rishonim, when they wrote Tshuvas, and this is only one of his eight volumes, when they wrote Tshuvas, they were able to fit it in very concisely. This whole Tshuva is this big. So it's 1,056 in Chelek Aleph. So he has a case where you hired a sofer to write a Sefer Torah for you, and when you got it delivered, you saw that there are mistakes in it. Right? They lined it, and every week the Balkari was looking like this, and afterwards Mishabura, and then calling up a Tinok, and there were mistakes every week. So you had to be checked through again, right? He wrote it from scratch, and it was worth something what he did, but now it had to be checked through. So the Balaba said, I don't want to pay full value for the Sefer Torah. I have to hire someone to fix it now. And the sofer says, that's life. No one's perfect. I'm human. I make mistakes. When you hire someone to write a Sefer Torah, there's bound to be mistakes. And you have to pay me full value, and that's part of owning the Sefer Torah. You have to maintain it. Right, that's the Rashba's case. I mean, just making it contemporary, I think it would be very similar to a case where you have a sefer that you're writing and you give it to proofreaders to read, and after the sefer is printed, everyone comes over to you and say, look at that typo over here, and the typo over there, and the typo over there, and you say, I paid these proofreaders to look through it, or I was going to pay them, and now I don't want to pay them anymore. I'll look at all these mistakes in it. Right? Another case, which I think is the same also, is you hire someone to paint your house, and afterwards you go through it, you miss a spot here, you miss a spot here, you miss a little spot here, little spot there, And you call him back and say, you missed 10 spots. And he says, that's normal. No one paints perfect, especially what you paid me. You expect a perfect job for what you paid me. So he says, I'm not coming back. I'm not coming back for that. So in all these cases, the mistake could be corrected. It's not like the case where he took your flour and he made bad challah. What? Yeah, the proofreader can't. Yeah, it had to be that they saw it beforehand. Right, that's a bad case. I retract that case. The case was you had a proofreader, but before he was, before it was printed, you showed it to someone else. You know, it's true. And said, look at my saver coming out, and I had a proofreader, and he finds a dozen mistakes in the first page he looks at. Yeah, that's right. Yes, but it's not like these cases we had before where it was a bad chair and where you can't do anything. He took your material and made it not so good, so there we had a din of a yored. He improved it from what it was worth, it just wasn't what you wanted, so then we had yod ha'atachtona. Here it's something that could be corrected, and the Baal HaBus is claiming he wants it corrected, and the worker says, I'm not perfect, and this is normal. I don't have to fix it. I would say something. Right, that's good. That's good, right? If you hire the painter and the windows are painted shut, and you ask him to come back and open them up, and he says, look, that's normal. That's all painters do that. And you just can do it yourself or hire someone else, and I'm not coming back. Can you deduct the pay? Okay, so let's see the Gemara. It's not so easy, otherwise this year would only take 2 minutes. Right, the Gemara talks about a sale. And this is the Gemara that the Rashba brings. Hamocha peris lachaveiro, if someone was selling produce to his friend, chitin, if he's selling wheat, some mekabel of rova kidnis lisa, the buyer has to assume that there's going to be some string beans in there also. And he has to assume there's going to be a quarter kav of legumes for every sa'ah of wheat. If he sells them barley, he has to accept the fact that there's going to be a quarter kav of straw in there per sa'ah. If he sells them lentils, he has to accept there's going to be dirt in there, a quarter kav of dirt in the sa'ah, because that is the normal standard of quality. Right? That's normal. Like if you buy lettuce and they say there's 0.1% bugs in it, so you can't complain. If they're there, they say that's what's there. That's what the accepted levels are. So you're buying wheat, barley, and lentils. The Mishnah tells us, the Braisa tells us what the normal standards are in the times of the Gemara. Okay, so the Rashba deduces from this, the same thing will be by the Sofer. If the Sofer had the normal amount of mistakes, he can say that, okay, just like the person buying lentils accepts that there's going to be dirt in the lentils, the person having a Sefer Torah written for him accepts the fact that everyone's human and they make mistakes. There's going to be a normal amount of mistakes. So if we can find out that there is this amount of mistakes whenever a Sofer writes a Sefer Torah, so then he gets his full pay. Well, let's finish the Gemara, then we'll see the Rashba together. Right, the Gemara says that if there was more than this amount of dirt in the lentils or string beans in the wheat and straw in the barley, so then he has to pay. Not only can he deduct the extra amount over that quarter kav, he can deduct everything, and he only has to pay for the amount of pure wheat, barley, and lentils that he received. But we don't say, well, a quarter kav is normal price, and just get a rebate for that part, that a refund for the part that was over. You get the whole total refund. And what's the reason? The Gemara gives two reasons. The one that seems to be accepted in halacha is because it's a kenas, because we say it's normal that there should be a quarter kav. That's the way things work. When you harvest, there's going to be some impurities in it. What amount of impurities is normal? A quarter of a kav. But if you find more than that, then we have to suspect that the seller purposely put it in there. He put it there deliberately, and really there wasn't any dirt, and he just added dirt in it. So since we assume that he added the dirt in it, the Chachamim gave him a knas and said that he has to return the amount of value of all the dirt and not just the amount that is over the standard. Now, that's what the Gemara says. Now, the Rashba, who uses this Gemara, we'll just go through it quickly. He says, "Sha'alta yes, hanosin masla chaveiro lichta l'sefer Torah." Someone gave money to his friend to write a sefer Torah. V'nimso b'tu'uyos, there are mistakes in it. V'tzarech liska mishi agios, and then he has to hire someone to correct them. So the Rashba answers, "Inheim tu'uyos she'derech ha'sefrim litos b'kach." If they are mistakes that can normally happen, ein ha'sefer chayiv klum. The sefer doesn't have to pay a penny. Shafa pish hanosin mos lichta l'sefer Torah. Even though when you pay $20,000 for someone to write you a Sefer Torah kosher, who knows, and you expect the Sefer Torah to be kosher. The kosher chaser osachas, if it's missing one letter, ain't a kosher, it's not kosher. Mikolakum to uyathan himself, spiksash, kiki, it's still this comment of fine mistakes. Vein lechas sofer, she yedaktib chasivazo kokach. You can't find any sofer that is going to be so perfect, shele yitakla, that he won't make any mistake at all. Any case like this, we assume that the balabas, the employer, is not mapid on it, and he forgives that amount of mistakes. However, if he made more mistakes than a normal scribe makes, then he has to deduct from his wages. Listen to the way the Rashba says it. Because this is because the sofer wasn't careful enough. Umipshiyuso, it was from his pshia, it was negligence. Ukaosa sha'amri gabitinofis shevepeiros. Just like they said, by dirt in the peiros, and impurity in the fruits, in the produce. That rova shchicha, a quarter is common. Yosemirova, but if it's more than that amount, lo shchicha. It's not common, and we assume ihu de arif. He's the one that added in the impurities. Became into arif, so since he's the one that added it in, Kansua Rabbanan Bekuli de Mishan the Chachamim said he has to pay the whole amount. Rama Paskins is halacha in Simin Shinvav Sivchas. I have that printed on the first page of the handout, translated. He Paskins is Rashba. Vivulna Gaon says that if, and he just says that if there's a few mistakes, he doesn't have to pay anything. He doesn't lose any pay. And if he made a lot of mistakes, so then he does have to pay. Now, how much does he have to pay? So the Vilna Gaon Bir Agra says over there on the Shulchan Aruch that if the sofer made more mistakes than are normal, so you don't just calculate how much it would be to have the amount over the normal amount of mistakes. You can make him pay for every single mistake that has to be fixed, like the case, which I think he's basing on the Rashba, like the case of dirt being put in. If there's too much dirt there, we assume the dirt was put in maliciously, and there's a knas, and you have to pay the whole thing. That's what the Vilna Gaon says. The Ulam HaMishpat asks your kasha, and he says, the Ulam HaMishpat, that we've used the same for a few times on Shulchan Aruch, one of the ones that were donated by the Chabura. So the Ulam HaMishpat asks on the Vilna Gaon, the Gemara is saying, that why is it that you have to lose all your wages to, you have to deduct all the dirt? That's because we assume you put it in on purpose. But over here, he made a mistake. It's a shogeg. And whenever you have a shogeg, you don't have a kenas. The Gemara never makes a fine when someone made an honest mistake, a shogeg. Fines are always because we assume that you purposely put the dirt in there. But over here, it was an honest mistake. You made a few mistakes. You know, I made more than normal, so I'll pay for those extra. I was tired that night. I wanted to get the, you wanted the job done in time, and I wanted to get it in time. So I stayed up late. I made a few mistakes extra. So I think the Ulam HaMishpat did not have the Rashba. Right? If you read the Rama doesn't say anything about it being a pshia. Right? But the Rashba, yeah, that part that I pointed out, the Rashba says it's, if there's more than those mistakes, we assume it's mimir hashkachas ha-sofer, it's from not caring enough, and mipshiyuso, and it's from his pshia. Right? I think the Rashba is saying that a pshia is tantamount to doing something wrong to maize it.
But that's some other circumstance.
Right, so that's what I wanted to say. So I wanted to say that the Vilna Gaon might agree that if the sofer can say, you know why I had so many mistakes? Because you were pressuring me, and because I had to stay up late at night, and because the baby had ear infections all winter, and that's why I had so many mistakes, So then I think he could agree that he'll just have to pay them out over the normal amount. I don't want to put words in, but it could be that, because the Rashba just said it's because it's a pshia. So the Mamishba thinks that pshia doesn't make a difference. It has to be mamish b'mezid to have that knas come into effect. The Vilna Gaon says no, and based on the Rashba, that it's enough if it was a pshia, if it was negligence. But if he can prove that it wasn't negligence, it was circumstances beyond his control, either it was an employer's own fault for nudging it every night, is it ready, or because of something else that was anonymous, so then it could be that there's no knas in that case, and he would just have to pay for the fixing over that amount. I'm not sure if this is true, Lamaisa. The Sefer HaSof said to Lamaisa, he said that if you go to a store, you go to the vegetable department, and they were selling beets, you know, the whole stalk, and then you weigh them, and you want to be smart, and you know, like pull off some of the extra stuff, that might be geneva, because if the normal derech is to sell them like this, and they're selling in 29 cents a pound as is, and you like sneak in between and pull out some of the things there to make it lighter, that might be gazela. Probably is gazela. Right, there are certain standards which are normal. It's normal to have that amount of dirt, and if you would like take out the dirt before you get to the, you know, you take your brush when you get to the potatoes and brush them off, so when they weigh them, there's no dirt on them anymore. So that might be a gazela, because they're selling you at this price based on the fact that there's that amount of dirt, which is the normal standard. If you try to circumvent that, that could be a gazela. Yes, yeah, so I just saw the Sefer on the way. I have to do the halachas of Mekach and Memkar next year. But I think the pashtus, so the Gemara is saying that this is the normal standard. So that is agreed upon, that this is what my price is based on, this amount of dirt here. And everyone starts coming in and nibbling away the stuff there. I'm going to lose money because I was based on this amount, the normal standard. Now, suppose the Sefer says, okay, I'm sorry I made these mistakes, I'll fix it for you. And you say, look, you know, you caused me so much aggravation already, and you did a not good job. I don't want you to have to do it. I want to have my own sofer go through it now. You know, I'm tired of you. I'm going to pay my sofer to fix it up, and I'm going to deduct from your wages. So, the Rashba continues. The Rashba says, if the minhag of the Malkum is that the sofer himself goes and corrects his mistakes, even though he didn't say he was going to, so then he is responsible to correct the mistakes. We'll get back to the Maishai in a second. If the standard is that the sofer doesn't correct his mistakes, he writes a sefer and has so many mistakes, and that's it, and that's the normal standard that he gets paid for, and he went anyway, and he went and corrected the mistakes, so then he can claim extra payment from the owner, because he's a yored shalav shus or sada that's made for this. This Sefer Torah needs to be corrected, and he would get the full amount for fixing that. The Aruch HaShulchan though says, the owners could say ahead of time, right? Not in this case, but in a case where the woman says, okay, I messed it up too much, let me fix it for you. So the Aruch HaShulchan says the owner could say, I don't want you to fix it. I want to get my own person to fix it, and I'm going to deduct it from your wages. There's one other shayla brought up in this case of the sofer, and that is, suppose they weren't... So by the way, just at this point, we can already answer these other cases we had. We see from here that if you have a worker do a job, and there are mistakes in it that could be corrected, so then the halacha depends on what the normal standard of excellency is, the normal standard of job for that price that you pay. If it's within the normal range, so he gets his full value, and you can't say, look, there's this and this and this. If it's not the normal range, so then he has to correct them. Does he have to correct them all or not? The Vilna Gaon says he does, and I think if it's him versus the Ulama Mishpat, and the Ulama Mishpat didn't seem to have the Rashba, we should go with the Vilna Gaon, saying that a pshia is like a mazid, and the knas goes into effect, and he has to fix everything. And we said that if it he can prove, the worker can prove that there was some reason behind why he had so many mistakes, it wasn't a pshia, so in that case it could be that he would just have to pay the difference. So the case of the painter, if the standard is that the window should not be painted shut, the painter is mechuyev to come and open them up. If he doesn't come, and you have to hire someone to open them for you, you know, without scraping up all the paint, to do it the right way, so then you can deduct that from his pay. The proofreader had more mistakes than normal, you can deduct that from his pay. But I think we should more, I think human nature more is that when you have someone do a job, we, when we're paying the money, we nitpick and we want everything completely exactly right. Right? They say that when you buy something, there's buyer's, what's it called? Buyer's, what?
Remorse,
right. There's buyer's remorse. The buyer has remorse that I spent so much money on this, and he tries to start going to this thing, and I want, and then there's seller's remorse. But the buyer, as a, when we buy something, we always find things that's not exactly the way we wanted it. We have someone, we're not talking about buying, we're talking about someone working for us. When you have someone working for us, it's not exactly, they mow the lawn, and yeah, but there's three weeds over there. I'm calling them back to cut them down. You know, that's probably normal to have missed three weeds, and you have to do it yourself, and you can't make them come back. Right? The person that wrote the Sefer Torah, it's normal to have mistakes. Maybe if the standards nowadays are that you run it through the computer first, and he didn't, so that might be different now. But if there are normal standards, that this is the way the job is done, and it's normal that there should be a few spots on the wall, if it is, for the price you pay, so then you can call him back. There has to be some limit to how far you can make a worker come back and make life miserable for him. I think that's the bottom line over here. There's a shaila that the Binyan Sion has, a shaila that someone hired this over to write the Sefer Torah, and it ended up there was an extra Shem Hashem in there. It was by a Daber Hashem Hashem Al Moshe Leimar. So what do you do in such a case? There's a machlok as a poskim. Some poskim hold it's completely possible, and you have to write over the whole column. Others say you're allowed to cut out the name, you know, cut out the whole line, and put in a parchment behind it, and reformat it so that the new line fits in right. So it's a machlok as a poskim. So the sofer said, I'm sorry, I'll fix it for you, I'll put that in. The Balabai said, I spent $20,000 for a new Sefer Torah. I want it mehudr. I don't want this. Machlok is a poskim, you know, Yotze, according to that shita, that the Sefer Torah was kosher. I want it mehudr. So the Binyan Sion Paskin, with this rule Kimli that we've had many times, it depends who has the money. If the Balabai didn't pay yet, he can say, I hold, like those shitas that hold, the Sefer Torah, which has the thing cut out and patched behind his puzzle. And I don't want a puzzle Sefer Torah. And if you want to take money from me, prove to me that I'm wrong. And if he already paid, the sufferer could say, Kimli, I hold, like those poskim that hold, that this is okay to cut out the parchment and put in the thing behind it. And if you want your money back, prove to me that I'm wrong. So, and then he says, it's not like the din of the Rashba. But he points out that it's not like the Rashba's din that said that there is a certain amount of standard that sofer make mistakes, because sofer make mistakes, so maybe it's a mistake. But he said, when a sofer gets to the Shem Hashem, a sofer is so careful, every sofer is very careful, they get to the Shem Hashem, allow sofer to go to the mikvah to write the Shem Hashem, that's not a normal mistake. Right, for several, we said the Rashba says you have to accept there's going to be a certain amount of mistakes in the Sefer Torah, but not a Shem Hashem. Right, that's what the Binyan Sion is saying. He's applying the Rashba. He's saying don't misapply the Rashba and say, well, the Rashba said you allowed 20 mistakes, and my mistake happened to be to put an extra Shem Hashem. He said that's not normal. That's not a normal standard, and you have to redo it. Unless you hold, you know, that there'll be that machlokas. One last thing to keep in mind is that this whole thing might have been a trick this year, because we said that we're talking about employment. Now, if you hire the sofer to write the Sefer Torah and he's using his materials, his ink, his everything, so then we're back to the case of a sale. We're not talking about employment anymore. So a lot of the things will stay the same, because we saw this whole sugya of standards is based on sales, so that part will stay the same. You know, if it's not the normal standards for a sale, so then you can refuse it. If it is the normal standards, you have to accept it. But there's other cases of Is he called a yored if he fixes it himself? He does the extra fixing. Then he's called. So then he won't be a yored because it wasn't my property yet. It's your sefer Torah that you're selling to me, and you decided on your own to fix in those extra mistakes. So I don't have to pay you for that. That's your sefer Torah you're fixing. So we have to be careful that we were talking here where the Baal HaBayis had bought the cloth and he had given it to the sefer, which is common. And he gave it to the sefer and said, "Here, I want you to write the sefer Torah on my cloth, on my parchment. I want you to write it on." In that case, everything we said is true. Hopefully, I mean, if we did it right, then I hope everything we said is true. Then, but if it's a sale, so then there'll be different changes. So, in review, this I think will be the last year on things not done properly. If it's something that could be corrected, so. If it's something that's up to standards of excellence, he doesn't even have to correct it. This is a normal standard, and I did it according to standards, and like the case of the dirt and the fruits. If it's beyond that amount, so then, according to the Vilna Gaon, he could say, I'm going to either you have to fix the whole thing, top to bottom, or I will hire someone to fix the whole thing, top to bottom, and deduct it from your pay. If it's non-mehudr, so that's a separate shayla. Hashem Hashem, we said that is called a normal standard of excellence. That's part of this not being up to standard, and that would be something that would be a good time.